I love my kids. I've watched Amanda grow up as a little girl. Her sister Becky got married when she was still small, when Amanda was small, and it broke my heart that we lost little Becky. And I remember when I got pictures in my office of Mandy and John when they were just real little kids. And I remember Mandy saying, "Preacher," because I said, "Oh, I'm losing my little girl." And she grabbed me, hugged me, and said, "Preacher, I'll never grow up. I'll always be your little girl." And I said, "Okay, Mandy, I'll hold you to it." And but she did grow up. And we lost her. And they're proud of her going to college, Commonwealth Baptist College there, Dr. Jeff Puget. And we're third year. Boy, time goes by, doesn't it? Man, just seemed like she just started a year or two. And we're proud of our kids. And thank God for her. She'll always be preacher's little girl. I want us to look tonight about Joseph of Arimathea. Boy, I got some good messages for Sunday too, man. You're going to be shouting Sunday, Eddie. The Lord will give me the strength. I'm going to preach both messages. I'm not saying if I can do it, I'm going to do it. Amen? We'll see how we do. And Luke chapter 23. We're going to do a word study on Joseph of Arimathea tonight. Luke chapter 23, verse 38 through 53. Let me read to you scriptures. Luke chapter 23 and verse 38. Let me just read to you the scripture. And a superscription also was written over him, and talking about Christ at Calvary, over him in the letters of Greek, Latin, Hebrew. I like what they wrote. "This is the King of the Jews." He is the King of the Jews, but by the way, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And one of the malefactors, one of those murderers, criminals, one of the malefactors which hanged, railed on him, saying, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." He didn't give a flip about Jesus, Coolidge. He just wanted to get out of there. But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? You have all of sin and come short of the glory of God." I mean, Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, verse 41. Luke 23, 41. "And we indeed justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds. But this man had done nothing amiss." Boy, Betty, I was just thinking about that carrot cake you made last month. That's good. That was good cake. I got some of that. And maybe you can make one for Saturday. I'll eat it. If you make it, I'll eat it. Okay, let me get back this, John. It just popped in my mind out of nowhere, Betty. Out of nowhere. She makes great carrot cake. I'm going to tell you that right now. Doesn't she, John? It's really good. Amen. Well, let's get back to preaching now. I'm done eating. And he said unto Jesus, "Lord," right then he's seen who Jesus is, "remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be in paradise with me." Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Three solid hours. You ever think about, I'll be preaching this about at Easter time. Three solid hours. I mean, from 12 o'clock noon to 3 o'clock, not just in Jerusalem. There was complete darkness over the whole world. I mean, the whole world was in utter darkness. I mean, dark blackness. And the sun was dark in verse 45. And the veil of the temple was rent in the mist. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into my hands I commit my spirit." And having thus said, he gave up the ghost. In other words, he died. Now, when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God. Certainly, this was a righteous man. He was more than a righteous man, by the way. He was the Son of God. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. They left. And all of his acquaintance of the women that followed from Galilee stood afar off beholding these things. And so you got the crucifixion of Christ, Eddie. Now everybody's leaving. Okay? Now watch. You know, God uses people that we never even know about. God uses people that we never even would think about. God uses people that we don't even know that they're Christians sometimes. There's a lot of Christians out there that we don't even know they're there. Look at verse 50. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor. He was a good man and a just man. The same had not consented to the counsel or indeed of them. No, he was against what they did to Christ. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went into Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn on stone, wherein never man before had was laid. And that day was preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. I'm going to talk to you. We're just going to study the man called Joseph of Arimathea tonight. And what we're going to do, he's only mentioned four times in the Bible. In every one of the Gospels, he's mentioned in each Gospel. And I want us just to look at him tonight and kind of glean a thought, what we can get from reading and studying God's Word. Heavenly Father, I really believe you put this in my heart to teach tonight. Help me, Father, to be a good teacher and a study of your word. Help us to grow in grace as we study and search the scriptures. Lord, again, I'm glad for Amanda to be here tonight. Please bless her in school. Lord, help her and all the kids that are, Lord, that's the lifeline in the future. Those college kids and Bible college, they're the hope for America. And Lord, I just pray that you bless Dr. Jeff Fugit and the college down there and raise up some great preachers and great preachers' wives and missionaries. Lord, I just pray that they'll grow in grace and become mighty for you in the things of God. Give us a great night tonight as we study your word. May you make your presence among us, I ask. In Christ's name, amen. Tonight I want us to look at a man who is only mentioned four times in the Bible. Joseph of Arimathea. We only got his first name, Joseph. Arimathea is the cities he's from. And even though we don't know a lot of the things that are told of Joseph, he's only spoken of one time in each of the Gospels. But even though we don't know a lot about him, he sure was mighty for God. Amen? I mean, he played a vital, important role in the burial of Christ. So I want you to see tonight, God uses different people for his glory. Don't count people out. Sometimes God uses people we never even would even think or hope to be for his glory. I mean, God uses people that we don't even know. He just brings them out of nowhere. Man, where'd they come from? Amen? Let's examine some things about Joseph of Arimathea. And I actually did like a little Bible study about his life. And I'll share it with you if you're taking notes. Verse 58, notice in verse 50. Look at verse 50. Can't read my own writing. It's a zero. It looked like an eight. You know, I can barely hold an ink pen in my hand. My writing was real bad before I had this problem. Now it's almost off the chart. Notice in verse 50, behold, there was a man. Jack, God's always looking for a man to stand up for him. God, Brother Rod, God's always looking for a man. I think you might have preached to somebody to stand in the gap. He's always looking for a man to stand in the gap because God's work always needs to be done. And by the way, remember, he was only, all the other people have scattered and went. There was nobody else there. He stood alone. Sometimes we have to stand alone for Christ. How many are still with me? Amen. Remember, the other ones in verse 49, people stood afar off. The other ones were already returned. People were gone. But he was still there, Jack. still there for Christ. Boy, I'm glad God can count on some people to still be there. Amen? And notice in that verse, behold, there was a man. His name was Joseph. Now, notice some things about him. When all the disciples were gone and afar off, God had a man to do his bidding. Let's notice some things about him. By the way, Thomas wasn't there. Philip wasn't there. Andrew wasn't there. Peter wasn't there. John wasn't there. James wasn't there. And all the rest of them weren't there. Even Judas Iscariot, the traitor. Amen. And they were all scattered. How many are still with me? Even Jesus' mother. Remember, Jesus told John to take his mother home before he died. So nobody was there. None of the disciples, not even his mother. I want you to get this. See, although there was no one there, God had a man ready to do his work at the proper time. Are you still with me? I want to note some things about this Joseph of Arimathea. In verse 50, number one, and I got, by the way, I got 13 of them. Don't want to scare you. Number one, in verse, he was a counselor. How many see that in verse 50? He was a counselor. In other words, he was pretty wise. You're counseling people. You're helping. You're telling people ways to take their life. Hello? He was a good man in that same verse. He's a good man, number two. Number three, he was a just man. How many see all this in that scripture? He was a just man and a just man. In verse 51, he did not consent to the Jews' counsel to crucify Christ. If you look at verse 51, that's not... the same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was against them crucifying Christ, even though he was a Jew. Now notice, he was waiting for the kingdom of God to come. Look at that verse 51. Who also, Arimathea, city of Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. Wow. It's amazing. You can find out a lot about a person if you'll just read a few verses. Amen? Well, so, see, already we're finding that there's five things about him that you found in these two verses. He was a counselor. He was a good man. He was a just man. He had not consented to the Jews for the crucifixion of Christ. Number five, he was waiting for the kingdom of God to come. Look at verse 52. You'll see number six about him. This man went into Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Now, he went in before Pilate and asked for the body of Christ. Now, that might not seem much to you, but I'm going to tell you something. That was there was danger doing that. If you aligned yourself to Christ, you were enemy. Hello? And so, I think that was a brave... How many think that was a brave act? I think it was, too. He put his life on the line. Now, then number seven, look at verse 53. And he took it down, and he took the body down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone where never man was laid. So number seven in verse 53, he wrapped the Jesus' body in burial linen. And number eight, he laid Jesus' body in a sepulcher wherein never man was laid. So eight things you found out about him right there just in this first passage. So now let's go to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 27. We're studying about Joseph of Arimathea tonight. All we're doing is taking a study of him. He's only in the Bible four times. What kind of man was he? Well, so far we found out he was a pretty good man. Matthew 27, verse 57. Wherein, when the evening was come, how many got Matthew 27:57? When the evening was come, there came a rich man of, but there's another thing you found out, he was rich. He was. Amen? He was a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. Well, we found out that he was a disciple of Christ in the first passage that we read. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in clean linen and laid it in his own the own new tomb, which he had hewed out of the rock. He rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. So we found out in verse 57, number 9, he was a disciple of Jesus. Boy, but Eddie, I never heard about him till then. Bobby, I read about Andrew and Thomas and Peter and James and John and Bartholomew. I read about Philip, but Rod, I never read about him. Yet the Bible plainly says he was a disciple of Christ. Hey, Mac, I wonder how many people out there are really saying we don't even know it. Don't always write people off. There's some silent people out there that we don't know about that are just getting ready for the time for God to use them. Amen? And so, hey, we never heard about him, but God had him in the waiting of the wings to do a great work for him for his burial. Thank God for this special man. Now, look at verse 60. And he laid in his own new tomb. That new tomb he put Jesus was his very own tomb. He was a giving man, wasn't he? He was a caring man. Are you still with me? And note, please, now look at Mark chapter 15. Mark 15. Word studies are great. You have a Strong's Concordance. If not, I imagine Evangelist Rod Black. Do you sell them, Rod? Yeah. And if you get a good concordance, you can find any. Just get one word, you'll look it up. You can find all of it. It's a great. I think every Christian should have a King James Bible, a Webster Dictionary, and a Strong's Concordance. If there were three books that you should have in your library, and you only had three books, you should have a King James Bible, number one. You should have a Webster Dictionary, number two. And you ought to have a Strong's Concordance, number three. And if you have those three things right there and you need anything else, you could make it. If you had just a Bible, you can make it. Those other two just helps. And I have the 1828 Webster, which the references, they give you scripture for in the dictionary there. That's the best dictionary you can buy, that 1828 Webster dictionary. I think we have them here, don't we? Do we have them in the bookstore? We used to sell that, didn't we, Dee? We don't sell it no more? Well, if you don't have one, what's that? Okay. Okay. You want to order one. You don't have one of them. You ought to order one of those from. Now, they might be $50, so they're an extreme nice book. I don't know what the cost on them is. You'd have to ask Evangelist Black. But I'm going to tell you, you can't beat that book. All the references are scriptural from that Webster dictionary. It's amazing. And so years ago, one of the members of our church bought me one of them. And Gail Rippler, I think it was Gail, or was it Mike? Did you buy Preacher the 1828 Dictionary, Mike? Somebody did. It might have been Gail Rippler then. I know you've given me things. I just can't remember everything. People give me a lot of stuff. Hard to remember everything. But I think maybe Gail Rippler gave me that years ago. And I want you to look at the new tomb. It was a brand new tomb, and he gave it on his own for the love of Christ. He gave his own tomb for the burial of Christ. And then look at Mark chapter 15. Do I have that? Mark 15. Where am I at here? We had Matthew, Mark, Luke. Matthew 15, verse 43. How many got Mark 15? How many got Mark 15, verse 43? Okay, now notice what it says here. Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God. Well, we learned all that about him prior. And we also know that he begged for the body of Jesus, but watch what it says here. Came and went in boldly. He went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. I like that. He went in there knowing that he was on a mission for God. He just is going there like a wimp. And I'm sure he had respect for Pilate, but and paid honor to whom honor is due. But I guarantee he didn't go in there like a wimp. He went in there boldly, because I'm going to tell you, that took courage to go in there. He went in boldly and craved his, and the Pilate marveled if he had were already dead, and calling him unto the centurion, he asked whether he had been dead any while dead. And when he knew it was the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And notice about this in verse 43, we find that he was honorable. Secondly, we find out he went in boldly and asked the body of Christ. That's pretty good. So we see, now by the way, that's 12 things. That's 12 things I've already recorded to you. So now we see all four Gospels record about the acts of Joseph of Arimathea, Matthew 27:57, Mark 15:43, and Luke 23:5. Now finally, I want to give you the fourth one, and that's John 19:38. John 19:38-41. I'll read that to you. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple. How many got John 19:38? His name's only mentioned four times in the Bible. One time each in the Gospels. He's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They give a rendering of him in all four of the Gospels. You know what? Look up here, folks, before I read the Scriptures. If God thought enough to put him in there all four times in all the Gospels, must have been pretty important. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, I underline that, but secretly, for the fear of the Jews. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'm glad he had boldness when he went to get the body of Christ, so wasn't fearing that, was he? He besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came on there, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. So we see here in verse 38, the 13th thing that I wrote down about him, he was a secret disciple of Christ. He was a secret disciple. By the way, he was secret because he had fear. The Bible says he had fear of the Jews. By the way, and you wonder, boy, what a wimp. I got thinking about this. You know, Mac, God knew what Joseph of Arimathea was going to do when he died. Had he got thrown out, had he been pressured out, Mike, before? See, sometimes God has people wait for the right moment. Am I making sense to anybody? If he'd have been thrown in, but here, no, but time was right. And that, when he came, he didn't come with fear at all. He came boldly. I like that. And he definitely, the Bible said he had fear before. But when he went before Pilate, he didn't have, the fear was gone. He had no more, he wasn't fearing the Jews. He went boldly to Pilate. Amen? Now notice, he was a secret disciple of Christ. I wonder how many people out there that we look at and we even think they're part of the world. I bet a lot of people didn't know he was I bet most people didn't. I know he's secret. The Bible said he was a secret disciple. In other words, not many people knew that he was a disciple of Christ. By the way, I don't think we should be secret. I think we ought to be speaking. In the day we live, we need to come out of the closet and say, no, we're going to stand for Christ. Now, Sunday, you guys better bring your ameners. And Sunday night, you better bring a seatbelt and hold on. Because I think I know how God's going to destroy America. I think I know the destruction of America. I think I do. I really do. He came boldly. Now, how many are still in John? Look at John 19. So we in verse 38, we see Joseph of Arimathea came secretly. Boy, talking about secret agents. Look at the next verse. They all start coming out at once. Look at verse 30. And then there came also Nicodemus. Wow, Rod, we don't hear about Nicodemus ever either. Oh, I remember reading him in John 3. John chapter, he came to Jesus by night. How can a man be born again? Amen. Jesus said, I'll show you. And he read, we know the great scripture, you must be born again. How can a man get back in his mother's womb? He said, you can't. You got to be born of the Spirit. There's flesh and there's spirit. We're born the first time by the flesh. We're born the second time by the Spirit. And he taught Nicodemus that. But by the way, Nicodemus was a ruler also. And he came by night. He didn't want no one to know that he came to Jesus. It's amazing. Sometimes people don't want to affiliate themselves with Christ. Hello? How many are with me yet? These people back then were afraid that their life would be threatened. Today, we feel some of our Christians, they don't say nothing because they're afraid you'll get criticized. One day, I don't believe it would be too far along. One day, I think we're going to go back to where he was. The Christians one day will probably go underground. I believe that. I don't know when. So we need to take the advantage we have now to be able to get out and get the gospel. We ought to take every advantage that we can. Everyone we can reach. Amen. Notice in 19, Nicodemus, which at first came to Jesus by night, here we got two secret agents. Coolidge. Two secret agents here, you know, two secret Christians. Boy, look up here. These were secret Christians that no one knew about. But when all the rest of the people were gone, even Peter. Hello? By the way, Jesus was already hung. He had already died before this came by. But the rough and tough Peter who cut Malchus' ear off, he wasn't there. James and John and the sons of thunder, they weren't there. Hello? Everybody fled. Nobody was there. Everybody was afraid. And there comes these two little wimp Christians. These two secret Christians that were always afraid to speak up. Hello? Aren't you glad when God raises new people up? Isn't that what I'm trying to show you is you never know. You never know when God's going to raise somebody up. And by the way, everybody has a place to serve God somewhere, sometime. How many are still with me? Am I making sense? Anybody? Notice this. I put wow. John 19:39. Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night in John 3. Now Nicodemus came also to help because he was a disciple also of Jesus. And he brought, and look at that verse 39. He brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Man, he brought some, it was worth a lot of money. He brought some good stuff, Maynard. Hello? And Judas wasn't there to say, we ought to be saving it for the poor. By the way, Judas, he never cared about the poor. He wanted to pocket the money all the time. He didn't give one flip about Jesus or the people. Notice, I like verse 40. How many see this? Verse 4. Then, I circled the first couple words. Then took they. They means two. They means Arimathea, Joseph, and Nicodemus. How many are still with me? Boy, wasn't that great that someone could come and see, two's a number of witness. How many are still with me? Here's two disciples that you didn't even read. All those gospel chapters, man, we read all through Matthew. There's 28 chapters. Nothing until the end. Go through all through Luke. Nothing until the end. Mark, nothing until the end. You get 21 chapters of John. You don't even hear about until chapter 19. They weren't there for none of the miracles. They didn't see Jesus stop the waves and the wind. They didn't see him feed the 5,000. They might have, but they're not recorded. Hello? They might have been present, but it's never recorded that they were. See, Billy, we never, look up here. I want you to get this. You Sunday school teachers, listen to me. You school teachers, listen to me. There might be someone sitting in your class that seems timid and remote and removed from everything. And you don't know that very one that the preacher might count out as doing nothing. That very girl or that very boy might be the very one that in the future God raises up to do a great thing for God. These people weren't counted even. They didn't even know the people didn't know they were part of the group. They were secret. And yet, they played a great role for the burial of Christ. And had they not, nobody else was there. When no one else came, and when no one else would, they did. There's people out there waiting. God's got certain people. Oh, they're not worth nothing, preacher. Listen, don't write anybody off. From the least to the biggest. Don't write it, because you just don't know what God's going to do. Sometimes I think we look at people, oh, Evangelist Rod Block, he'll do it. And Eddie, well, they wouldn't, you can't do it. No, they can do it. And sometimes they do it better than you and I both. And it's people that you think, well, those people are not, I don't even know if they're Christians. They were secret disciples. Wow. Well, let me close this out. In verse 40, they took the body of Jesus, both Joseph and Nicodemus was used in a wonderful way for the provisions of his burial. Isn't that exciting when no one else had the provisions? God raised up two men that had the provisions? Why am I saying that to you? You say, we can't make it, preacher. I don't think we're going to. Listen, God can provide any time and any way with anyone. I probably told you this story. It might have been told you recently. I don't know. I didn't plan on telling them. But I feel 11 years ago when I lived in Toledo, I pastored in the Lighthouse Baptist Church. We drove an old Ford LTD for years. One day that car, we had it for years and had a lot of miles on it. One day she just went, and she gave up the ghost. And all the king's horses, Brother Jack, and all the king's men wasn't going to make that Ford engine run again. She was done. Rod knows what I'm talking about. We ran it till there wasn't nothing left. And I really didn't know what we were going to do, Eddie, because I didn't have no money. And I had no way to borrow money. You got to make money to borrow, be able to borrow some. You got to have something to borrow from. And that evening, I was just sitting there praying, and Rosie said, hey, there's a phone call for you. I said, who is it? She said, I don't know. It was a man from Atwater, Ohio. I said, Atwater? Not Atwater. I'm cracking up. That's here. Waterville, Ohio. I'll go back to Toledo now. Waterville, Ohio, is up past Maumee, up along the river there. Great duck hunting up there, by the way, on that river, years ago. And he said, I heard your engine, your car stopped on you, and I heard about your ministry. And his name was Kibitzer. He was a retired draftsman or something for the Chrysler Corporation. He was a very wealthy man. And he was a Christian man. He never prayed out loud or never did, but he was a saved man, but you just didn't know it. He was kind of like a silent Christian. But somehow the word got to him. Isn't God good? Here's a man I never saw in my entire life. Didn't even see him. Didn't know who he was. Yet he knew who I was. See, God knows who you are, and he knows right where you are.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And he knows who to send to you when you need something.
Yeah.
And he said, I heard you lost your car. Stop. And I said, yes, sir. He said, well, I just bought a car for my son. I'm going to give it to you. And I've had a title. He gave me a beautiful, back now, I'm going way back in the 80s. And this, he gave me a 1976 old Cutlass. And there wasn't a rust spot. It was immaculate. And those, it had the big captain chairs in the front. And they swiveled. And you could actually swivel to get out of the car. You could actually make it look like swivel. It would actually swivel. How many know what I'm talking about? It was sharp. It was sharp, man. And we found out how to get up there, and someone took me up there. I can't remember who took me up there. Somebody took me up there, and he gave me the car. He gave us groceries, handed me an envelope with money in it. I'm going to tell you, God always goes, and he had a tank, full tank of gas in the Oldsmobile. Drove that car for years. Later, I sold it, and about 5 years later, it was given back to me again. Got that car twice, and I needed it again too. I never know said. Isn't that amazing how God's so good? It's a different person who gave it to me, though, second time. What I'm saying is this. God knows there's people out there. You might not think that God can raise people up, but he can. And they might never raised up before. And you might think, they're worthless. They're not going to do nothing for God. But just about the time you and I say that, here they come doing something. Well, shut my mouth. Amen? Don't sell God short. God can do anything for anyone, with anyone. Amen? I had a furnace go out one time. I lived in Superior Street. Again, I had no money, Rod. Not a dime. You and I can really relate to stuff like this, can't we, preacher? And the furnace went out in that big old house. We got some gas, one of those kind of built with kerosene. We had them going through the house to keep the kids warm. Another guy comes up. Just comes. I'm out my front yard doing something. I can't remember. It was cold. But I was out there doing something with my car. And a man just pulled up. And he said, God sent me here. I'm not making this up. He had heard that my furnace went out. And I can't remember. He gave me hundreds of dollars. I can't remember how much money. Whatever it cost to get the furnace. And I got one of them. Long story short, a man just pulled up. Said, God sent me here. Hand me an envelope full of money. Got back in his car, drove away.
Amen.
Don't tell me anything about him.
Amen.
That's right.
And I can tell you story after story. You say, how's that guy come from? How much faith? Because I've seen God do miracles in my life. He did the biggest one when you guys bring me out of debt. I mean, all these are short things compared to what he did over there at the hospital about 6 months ago. But I'm going to tell you, God uses different people at different times, in different ways. I mean, all the tough guys are gone. The Marines are gone, Coolidge. Peter and James and John, all them, they're all gone. They're gone. They're like the Three Stooges. They're gone, man. They're out of here. And then here comes old Joseph of Arimathea. Guy that you never think of. Oh, he was a good man. He was a just man. He's a good counselor. Then we find out, Carl, also, he was a secret disciple of Christ. And oh, look at that next verse, Nicodemus. Holy mackerel, these guys are coming out of the woodwork. And he says, I'm going to help too. And the two of them made the burial for Christ. Took him in that new tomb. Did everything prepared, all with fulfilled the scriptures. Two people that you would think, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, We don't read, you read all through those Gospels, you don't read one thing about them until the very end. Or I read about Nicodemus coming to Christ in chapter 3, but doesn't say he got saved. But then I think in the middle of John, it refers to Nicodemus too, and it shows that he did get saved. But there they are. Everybody's gone, but there's those two guys. Nicodemus and Arimathea. Wow. Let me say this in our close. You don't hear any more things said about these two men after this. That's something. That's it. But they played a most important role for the burial of Christ. And the truth is, I want you to get this. I want you to see this, and I'm all done. God has people out in the world that we don't even know about, ready at an instant to raise up for the work of God. You say, we'll never get nothing built out there. We don't have the money. I'm going to tell you something. I hope the dinar hits, but you know what? I'm afraid God ain't going to do it because I said that we were going to use the money for the dinar, you know? I still think we're going to win. But God don't need the dinar to do it. We're excited and we hope we can use it for God. And I'm going to give mine for the Lord. But I'm going to tell you something. He doesn't have to use a dinar. He can use anything he wants. And Brother Jack, we got a great God. And usually, he does just opposite of what we figure. Me, I'm like that Jacob. I'm always trying to surplant. How about you? Roddy, I'm always trying to figure it out for God. How many are still with me? You don't have to surplant for God. You just got to walk with him and to know him and believe that he can do all things. Amen? Well, thank God for Joseph Arimathea and thank God for Nicodemus because they played a great role for our Savior in the burial. Amen? When all were gone, there was two that raised up that no one even knew about. That's just like God, ain't it? Isn't that just like God? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we had in the Word of God. Lord, I've had a great time in your Bible this afternoon. Thank you. Oh God, thank you for the eyes that I have to be able to read it. Oh God, thank you for letting me sense the Spirit of God and understand sometimes some things you're trying to share with us. Help me to preach in the future, Father. Help me preach even more bolder and more powerful than I've ever preached before. God, bless this coming Saturday. Lord, I pray you'll raise the money up in that spaghetti dinner to help us for the work of God in the future. Thank you for the bikers. God bless all my Bethel Baptist bikers. They try to help in the work of God. And Lord, thank you for their love for the things of God. Lord, just use them and help them to reach souls for you, I pray, in that biker ministry. And Father, just be with our people tonight. Lord, be close to each one. And I'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.